Brother Stillwell, if you'll come up this time, he's speaking to us. Get to know his family here, and it's beautiful here. We're excited to have him as one of our missionaries and to the great nation of Peru, and he's been there a while. I grew up there himself, and it's neat to see him ministering. Come and bless us, brother.
Thank you. It is encouraging to be back here after 4 years. God has blessed my heart already this morning in this time. And it's encouraging to see your love for the Lord enduring. That's an encouraging thing. Thank you for being faithful. One of the things that happens after 4 years is we notice change, right? A lot of people have noticed change in our kids. We only have two right now with us. That's another change. One of the changes that we notice when we come back after being gone for 4 years is that the country has changed. You probably even have noticed it even though you're not gone for 4 years. And perhaps some thoughts of discouragement can creep into our minds and hearts as we see our country change. Perhaps you have the temptation to be downhearted, wondering if the United States' spiritual glory days are over. Perhaps it seems that we are hopelessly shifting from a firm foundation that maybe we once enjoyed. And maybe we're tempted to pine away, reminiscing just of those glory days, the good old days. Maybe even our thoughts look out to the rest of the world. And with every news article that we hear or read, we're tempted to think that this world is in a downward spiral that's out of control. I want us to be encouraged by God's word this morning. And I would ask you to accompany me in opening your Bibles to Colossians. As I participated with you worshiping our Savior, our King, I think, you know, maybe they don't even need this message this morning. You guys are so encouraged. You guys are doing well. The Lord is prospering you spiritually. I am the one who has been encouraged already this morning, but I know maybe like me, you have times when you need to be encouraged, and that discouragement does want to creep in, and I hope this passage will be of help to all of us as the Holy Spirit uses it in our lives. I'm glad God's word is sufficient for every need we have. Let's read Colossians 1, 1 through 8. Colossians 1, 1 through 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you. As indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Father, please work in our hearts this morning. May your truth lift our eyes to you. We ask that you would encourage our hearts and that you would produce thankfulness in us and a desire to persevere and continue. Thank you for Jesus, our King who reigns. Do a work in us, please, this morning by your grace, that you may get all the glory. Amen. Amen. We aren't sure what the relationship was between Paul and the Colossians. He may not have ever gone there. There are some clues in this book that maybe suggest that. There in verse 4, he talks about, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. If you look down in chapter 2, verse 1, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. It may be that Paul has not had a chance to see them. So he's hearing news, regardless whether he has seen them or not, he's hearing news of their spiritual well-being by way of Epaphras. And in these first 8 verses, he is responding to that news. And the response of Paul glorifies God. When he hears that news from Colossae, from his brother Epaphras, he glorifies God, and he glorifies God through his thankfulness. Verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. This morning, I want us to use this passage and be encouraged to thank God for what he is doing. Now, Paul is in prison. Epaphras is a breath of fresh air for him. And the words, the news that he brings his way cause him to lift his eyes to God, his heart to God in thankfulness to him. And that's what I want to happen this morning. I want our hearts, as we hear of the news of what the gospel is doing in Peru, I want it to move our hearts to thank God and give him the glory that he deserves. Okay. Let's look at how Paul is responding to the news. What is it that gives him this thankfulness? We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of what? Of your faith in Christ Jesus. One of the things that made Paul respond in thankfulness was hearing of the faith of the brothers and sisters who were faithful there in Colossae. Now, what is thankfulness? Thankfulness is recognizing God's goodness, his grace, his kindness, his mercy. And that gives him glory because this is a great aspect of who God is. He is good and his mercy endures forever. And anytime we recognize that, we are giving him the worth that he deserves. And so Paul is glorifying God by being thankful in his heart, expressing God's goodness. And he does it, first of all, when he hears of the faith of these believers in Colossae. Now, why would Paul thank the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when he hears of their faith in Christ Jesus? You may think congratulations were in order more than thanking God, right? But it's because Paul knew that apart from a merciful and gracious work of God, no one comes to faith in Christ. Perhaps it was from the same Roman prison that Paul wrote, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, it is a gift of God. So Paul understood from his own life that he came to Christ because God did a gracious, good work in him. In another letter to the Corinthians, Paul explained that God is the one who shines in our hearts with the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When someone comes to Christ, it is really a supernatural work of God. Similar to that first day of creation when God said, let there be light, boom, and there was light. And so when Paul heard of the Colossians' faith in Christ Jesus, in his heart there was a sense of awe of the great goodness of God, and it began to swell and it came out in thanksgiving to Him. And then you think about it again, because verse 3 says, we always thank God. And you think about it again. You think about those brothers and sisters there in Colossae. He knew that they had been following Satan, that Satan had been influencing their culture for years and years and years. He knew they were dead in their sins. He knew that just like all of us, they were guilty before a holy God. They could not save themselves from the just condemnation they deserved. And even though these people in Colossae were far away from Israel, from Jerusalem, from where Jesus walked and taught, where Jesus died and rose again, they were far away from that. The gospel had arrived to their city, and God was changing lives through faith in Jesus Christ. And He would again, God, You are good! And he would thank God again and again and again. Let me tell you about what God has done in another place that's far away from here and far away from Israel. There in Huaraz, in the mountains of Peru, I want to tell you about Jairo. His wife, Julia, called me one Wednesday, and she said she had been given a tract. And on the back of that tract, they had the service times, and she asked if she could come that night. The way she got the tract is another gracious work of God in her heart, in her life. She asked if she could come, and I said, of course. She didn't come. And that's common in Peru. That's common. Okay, another one of those situations. The next Wednesday, she called me again and asked, can I come tonight to your Bible study? I said, yes, you can. I didn't think she was going to come, but she came. She came, and she had her husband with her. One of the ladies in our church was concerned because she knew him and his reputation. After the meeting, Molly and I met with Jairo and Julia. Jairo had blood on his arm from a fight he had been in earlier that day. Julia told us their story. She had kicked her husband out of her house a couple years ago before... She just couldn't put up with his lifestyle of stealing drugs, alcohol, coming to the door and abusing their family, so she had kicked him out. But when she received the tract, something made her reach out to her husband and drag him to the meeting that night. Well, we gave them the truth of God's Word, truths of the gospel, truths of salvation, truths of change and hope. The next morning, I went to Heido's house and I met with him, and I have been meeting with them weekly ever since. Last August, Jairo was baptized. That was a special, special day. Last Sunday, Jairo led the singing at our church in our absence. And... He will tell people, and he goes back and meets his friends who he would do drugs with, and he will tell them, you know what, I couldn't change, but God changed me. And he will tell them about the love of Jesus. And now when temptations still come, his faith is in Christ. When he is tempted to think there's no way you can serve in church with what you've done, he remembers what Christ did on the cross, and he puts his faith in his work and his person, and he continues on. And inside, we just grow in awe at what God can do in the lives of people like us. And other people in Huaraz, maybe their stories are not as apparently dramatic as those, as Jairo's and Julia's, but many have come to Christ, and all would say, I'm only a sinner saved by grace. And so I want you to be encouraged that this gospel that has come to you is touching lives in Peru, in Huaraz. This is 10,000 feet above sea level, back in the high Andes of Peru. The same gospel is transforming lives down there. People are coming to faith in Christ because of God's goodness. What else made Paul thankful? Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. This is the second reason Paul had to be thankful. And that's because faith in Christ Jesus lives to loving God's people. Paul told Timothy in his first letter to him that the aim of their instruction was love that comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Sincere faith shows itself in love. Remember, James made it very clear that if you believe in God and believe in Jesus, but that doesn't leave you to love God's people in tangible ways, that faith is dead. They go together. Faith in Christ and loving God's people go together. John writes so that we can know that we are born of God and that we have eternal life. And one of the truths he gives is in 1 John 4:7 and 8. And you know, well, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love doesn't know God, for God is love. Person whose faith doesn't manifest itself through love for God's people has really no true claim on a relationship with God. They have no assurity of salvation. They have no security that they have been transferred from the domain of darkness to the domain of light. That is because one of the parts of the supernatural fruit of the Spirit is love. And he gives it to people that he saves. So when Paul heard of the love that the Colossians had for all the saints, he thanked God because he knew their faith was real. He knew it was a real trusting in Christ Jesus. And I want to give you reasons to thank God in the same way. Our church there in Huaraz is made up of rich and poor, young and old, educated and not so educated. And in Peru, cultural standing is important. And a lot of times it's difficult for people to relate when they're not on the same level. But we enjoy something special in our church where we all love each other. And that is only because of the gospel. I read those verses there in 1 John about loving God and knowing that we're born of God because we love God. Well, it goes on to say, by this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And I'm seeing that happen in the lives of people up in the Andes. People loving each other because they have been loved by God in Jesus Christ. One of our favorite things is the time we gather to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We do it the first Sunday of the month. We do it at night. And we're a small enough church. We just put a bunch of tables together and we all eat a meal. And we encourage each other that way. And then after the meal's over, we take part in the elements, the bread and the grape juice. And all together, we're talking about what does it mean that Christ died for us. And we encourage each other with truths about Christ's death and remember that. And it's one of the most loving things we have. And it's an encouragement to me. And I want your hearts to be encouraged and thank God for, look what He's doing through His gospel in a remote part of this world. A third reason Paul has to be thankful shows up there in verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Because of the hope laid up for you. This hope impacted the lives of the Colossians. And I think Paul is going to be talking about that more, and this will help us understand, well, what is this hope laid up in heaven? In verse 27, we hear more about this hope, and he's talking about the gospel, especially how Christ is in them, in the Colossians. Imagine that. God, man, in the Colossians. The hope of glory. And then in chapter 3, he talks about putting their eyes, their minds, their thoughts on the things above where Christ is, where he's seated at the right hand. And then verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Paul says part of this hope that's in heaven is that, yes, Christ is already in you in a special way by his Spirit, but the relationship is so close that he's called their life. And one day when he comes and we're in glory, Paul says you all will be transformed and be revealed in the same kind of glory that Christ has. Be glorified. Can you imagine sinners getting to that point? Wow! And that had touched the lives of the Colossians, and Paul knew that they were grabbing onto that hope that was laid up in heaven, and he again, thank you, God, for communicating that truth to them and working in their hearts. According to chapter 3, thinking on those truths was going to do something to them. Paul said, if you're thinking about that glorious truth of being with Christ in heaven, now put to death sin and put on Christ-likeness. And this leads to a fourth reason which Paul was thankful. Look at the verses that follow there in chapter 1. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. Paul has reason to give thanks because what is happening in the Colossians is happening all around the world. His known world. He didn't know about the Americas, right? But his known world, the gospel was spreading and impacting lives all around. And maybe you have never been to Peru, but I want to tell you that that same gospel is increasing and producing fruit. One changed life at a time. One Christian at a time putting off sinful habits and putting on Christ-like habits in its place because of the gospel. And the gospel is increasing in its fruit-bearing glory there in Peru. One last reason there, verse 5. How did this come to them? How did all these beautiful things happen in the lives of the Colossians? Well, he says in verse 5, it had to do with the word of truth, the gospel. It had to do, according to verse 6, when you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And how did that come to them? Epaphras, verse 7, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. Paul was thankful because of the faithful service to the gospel of Epaphras. That faith, that love, that hope, that change of life, that fruit came to the Colossians by a faithful witness of the gospel, Epaphras. Now in chapter 4, we learn more about Epaphras. Paul calls him one of you, there in verse 12. chapter 4, verse 12, Epaphras, one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. Okay, so he's still there with Paul, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. In Philemon, Paul says that Epaphras is my fellow prisoner in Christ. And he sends greetings. And we think these are written at the same time. So Epaphras apparently is in prison with Paul. That is how that is how committed he was to the gospel truths. Right now, I want to talk to you a little bit about what God is doing in a young man whose name is Mac. Mac got married a month ago. He was living in the house that we left behind for these 4 months. And this morning, he is probably preaching in about 15 minutes. Mac was baptized 5 years ago in our church, and he has been growing and growing and growing. He loves the Lord. He loves the gospel. He loves the communion with Christ. He is a huge encouragement to me. Our desire is that one day he would be part of the leadership that God builds up for this church to be on its own. And I want you to know that God is working in the lives of men and women around the world to grow up maturity, to grow up leadership, to grow up faithfulness in sharing the truth of the gospel. Because that is what God uses to change lives. It's the truth of the gospel that he uses. And we need faithful men and women to take that on. And God is working in the life of Mac. Would you pray for Mac? And in your prayers, give thanks to God for him. So yeah, maybe sometimes there are days when we are discouraged, when we look around and we see that things seem to be going downhill. And the news around the world isn't very good either. And maybe we're even tempted to take the foot off the gas and maybe just coast a little bit, because I don't even know if I'm doing anything, if the gospel is doing anything. Please allow this passage of Scripture to show you that God is working in a glorious way around the world. Be encouraged and thank Him. He is not done with His work. Christ is building His church. Jesus shall reign from coast to coast, from nation to nation, from pole to pole. So remember that you have brothers and sisters high in the Andes Mountains who have been transformed by the same gospel that has transformed your life. And keep going. Keep going. Father, there is no one like you. There is no one who could take a message given to 12 weak apostles there in a small place, and through your powerful Holy Spirit, spread that throughout the world so that people are being changed from day to day for your glory. We look forward to the day when we will all be glorified in your presence, and we will all give glory to Christ, the Lamb who was slain. Glory to you, the author of all of this. And I ask that you would grow in us a thankfulness that comes from an awe of what you are doing for your glory around the world through the gospel. May you be honored in our lives today and forever. Amen.